This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, May 16th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Usually on Tuesday, we have Calhoun, Cleveland Indians III, who is a critical theologist, right, who comes and have a series on the show. However, this Tuesday, we were booked out, both shows, Aaron Green's On the Clock with Aaron Green, and Guardian Radio AM with me, C.A. Nuri, were booked out, and we had the privilege of having the bishop, or the second in command of the
Israel United in Christ.
Yes, and we're here, and we were privileged to host them and got some insight about their religion. Today, we have Dr. Cleveland Enius III in-house to continue his series, but we have a different aspect or a different approach to what he usually does. We're going to have an open line. Then he said, how are you going to have an open line? And Dr. Enius's approach is so broad. We're going to have an open line to the public to ask Dr. Enius questions, general questions, right? That means you have two questions you ask. Then you hang up. Let me repeat that. He asks you two questions. He's able to write it down. We take notes. And then we'll see if he's able to expand on that question. There are a number of people who've been texting us for the past several weeks saying, hey, can you ask Uncle Sarah this question? Can you ask Uncle Sarah that question? And I said, no, but it's not on the agenda today. It's not the topic for today. And I said, no, we can open the lines for that. We're going to open the line for that. And for the curious who see Christianity as a African religion, who see Christianity as a religion of a particular region where we are intimately involved, right? That we as black people, right, was in the center of things. And then those people who are interested to having explained how the pyramids was built, how it seems as if technology existed 5,000 years ago. People who were curious about these extra books, what are the books called, Aaron?
The Apocryphal.
The Apocryphal books and the tablets. What the tablet thing?
There's the Sumerian tablets and the Emerald tablets.
Yeah, all of that. People who are interested in those line of question and say, hey, I need someone to explain it. Of late, I've been bombarded from people from various lodges, curious, man, I need this book, I need that book. We've been studying that and we never see that insight, right? And curious, I guess. This is the time now to call and see if the Calhoun is familiar with those concepts, to see whether his spirituality, his religion, has explanation for these questions, right? These like things inside the Bible. So I never understood that, you know. But I'll start the question. I'll start the questioning, and then as you listen, you say, "Okay, I never thought of that." You can join in. Of course, Aaron, you can join in too. Aaron Green is with me, and I would like to welcome again Dr. Cleveland Enius.
Good morning, and Namaste. Namaste means I bow to the divinity within you. It's great to be here, and looking forward to the questions.
Yeah, we miss you on Tuesday, but be glad that you're here this Thursday. So let me start with this, right? On a previous discussion, right, I question whether there is monotheism, one God concept.
Right.
And you mentioned, or I think you mentioned, that God and Elohim is two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to go over that by definitions now, just general definitions. What is God? What is Elohim? What is the Creator or the Most High? And we'll start off with that with different definitions.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put support there, you can. But just so we can understand that, and we'll move forward, moving from Genesis back and forth.
Right. So one of the things that, and within the Holy Coptic Church, one of the things that we learned from our Basesh, or our Coptic Pope, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, is that language is key. And so a lot of the confusion or apparent confusion comes from us just not understanding how language plays a part in a lot of what we think are differences. So, for example, when you're saying the Most High, you could have a person that's considered the Most High in a particular room. So let's just look at government. They'll say the prime minister, yes? So he would be, or she, if that ever happens, would be considered the highest minister in that particular circle, whereby in some cultures they would say that that particular person is the Most High of that particular realm. But that's different from the Most High of the celestial heavens, whereby in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, you learn about the I Am, this I Am principle. Now, that in and of itself is still different from when you go to the word God now that they introduced to us. That word ultimately is the word Gut. It's a German word, and it supposes that that's a singular being, as opposed to when you see this word in the Hebrew, whereby it is Elohim. So when you look in the language and you see the word Elohim, anything with a yod mim is plural. Now, that makes sense if you study the language, if you understand that yod mim actually represents plurality. And so the us, as in let us make man in our image and after our likeness, could not have been a conversation only amongst men, right? Because women were also created, male and female created he, them, and called their name Adam. So whose image and likeness is the woman in if only men were there? Women had to be there. Okay, so they are part of this Elohim. They are part of this Godhead. You understand?
So if I'm not mistaken, you're saying that there is an Elohim that is plural.
The word Elohim is plural. So you have El, Elo, Eloah, and Elohim. This use of the word El would in the language be considered singular, right? And then you have this El, Elo, Eloah, Elohim. So it'd be a singular, a dual. A tri or more than two, and then you have more than three, right? So it really just takes some time to just study the language and just appreciate how these words, because the languages that English ultimately comes out of, they're much more specific than English. They have feminine words, they have masculine words, they have plurals, you know, they have singular, etc. That is very much more specific than we see in English. So even though in English you're seeing the word God, it's still saying us. And so then the question is, well, is that God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, right? But then which one of them is female?
So when they said, let us create man, you suggesting that it was more than one person creating man?
But they said us. So us is plural. Now, what, again, makes a person who is critically thinking about this ask is, well, whose image is the woman in? Because at that point, they're saying, let us make man, right, in Genesis chapter 1, is talking about this creation of who they say is Adam and Eve. And this Adam and Eve, ultimately, which... that's not their names either. Even when you go into the language, it doesn't say Adam and Eve. But this tribe, Adam, is being created Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. All right? And then if you go to Genesis chapter 5, it says, and called their name Adam. Mm-hmm. So the tribe is called Adam.
I want to ask a question about creation.
Sure.
And the created. Mm-hmm. Right? God, or the Most High, created man, heaven, and earth. Right? The solar systems. Right? Mm-hmm. Can God, who's out of creation, be in creation? Well, Jesus, or Yeshua, was in creation.
Right.
And so, born into creation. And really, I ask that, right? I want to know if God is in heaven.
Yes.
And how can God, the creator of heaven, be in heaven? Right. Shouldn't he be outside of heaven?
And this, again, is why we need to understand the difference between God and the Most High.
But you confuse me. Isn't God and the Most High the same person?
No. If you go to Psalms chapter 82, right, it makes it very clear about this reality of the fact that Psalm 82 verse 6, it says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, some would say, well, that's small g versus big g, but in the Hebrew is all Elohim. It's no small g, big g in the Hebrew. So the Most High would have had to exist, or that which caused creation to ultimately come about had to have existed before creation. So existence is before creation. So there had to have been that which existing before creation ultimately was set into motion. Because the word creation means to grow.
So let me see if I understand you. You're saying there's the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying the Most High created God? Or because the Most High created the Elohim?
Well, yeah, if we go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and it talks about the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. Right? This group called God in Revelation 3 and 14 is talking about a earthly group of gods versus a celestial group of gods. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. So there's generations in the heavens and there's generations in the earth. All of them coming out of the Most High and Nere, which is not anything that we can perceive as a being is only a portion of the Most High. You understand? The Most High would go beyond what we call form, or what we understand as a being. The Most High is a mental precept. The Most High, when we talk about God being all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere, that's really the Most High, the Anere.
And I see you calling. I'm coming to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture in the Bible where Lucifer was saying that he wants to put his throne where the Most High is.
Right.
That because he was already in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say, I'm asking, was the Most High out of heaven in a different spot?
No, well, really having a war with Michael. He wasn't having a war with the Most High. Michael just happened to be the archangel who was leading the fight against Lucifer or that serpent. So there's always a portion of the Most High. That's why when the Messiah talks about heaven, our Father who art in heaven, he also said the kingdom of heaven is within. So we all have a portion of the Most High. We have a portion of that divinity within us. And this is what atonism ultimately is assisting those who embrace it with, is becoming one with that divinity. That's at one minute. This is the salvation that ultimately we are seeking, to become one with our higher principle of the higher principle of the Most High that's within us. And so, again, the languages have thrown us off this path. And we are really calling on Greco-Roman gods and chieftains, really. The names that they're giving us for these gods are really the chiefs of their tribes that they made into gods or the Most High in some instances.
So as we read, we come across strange books or books that are not inside our my King James version of Bible, right? Mm. And then we know that King James did a translation, a variation of existing Bibles, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a book of Jubilee. There's a book of Giants. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, and I know being a Pentecostal, you know, coming out of Catholicism, right? We don't really acknowledge these books of Jubilee, the book of Adam and Eve. And I would like to know if those books have any credence. Like, did such things really exist? Were there giants? Were there fallen angels? Who were these fallen angels? What did they come on earth to do?
There definitely are these giants. There definitely are these fallen angels. I would say to anybody who questions the validity of beings outside of this planet, coming to this planet, why in the book of Job, for example, are they mentioning star constellations like Arcturus and Pleiades? And they mention Maseroth, which is what they refer to as the zodiac or the constellations in the heavens. Why, and Orion, why are these star constellations being mentioned? Why in Genesis 6 are we learning about these sons of God coming from somewhere? They don't say where they come from. And then they mention that these sons of God, the first group, took them wives and they produced giants, right? Giant, of course, that's a subjective term in terms of you have to have a reference point. In a room full of giants, there are no giants. But obviously, whoever was giving the critique or the perspective of what they saw said, that's a giant. So whoever said that's a giant wasn't a giant.
I want to ask another question, with mm-hmm. Giant, but I have a caller here. Because mm-hmm. I want to know if giant means big or giant means supernatural powers. Mm-hmm. Aaron. Go ahead, Aaron. You have a nice question?
No, I just say I've never heard supernatural powers being referenced to giant.
I can ask it again. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Press that again, Aaron.
Okay.
Can you hear me, caller? I'm trying to connect you, caller. So if you're there, caller, bear with me. Hold the line until we get connected.
Just tell the caller, hold the line.
We're going to press the button right now. So I know Aaron want to hear this part about giants. What is a giant?
The word that is used biblically is the word Nephil, or the Nephilim. So they didn't really have the word giant there, right? The word is a word that ultimately means, they'll say, a bully or a tyrant or a fallen one. So the word giant in and of itself is not actually there. And this is why when we say language is key, it's important for us to look at these words. And
so
actually,
it didn't say giant?
No, the word giant isn't actually there. The word Nephilim is there. It's talking about a group that ultimately, and I'm just pulling it up in the Blue Letter Bible, right? This is Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. When you look at this word, giants, H5303, this is in the Strong's Concordance, in the biblical usage, they define the word Nephilim as giants, right? They also talk about a bully. They also talk about a tyrant, right? So the word itself, again, if we go to the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, this word giants is used to describe these bullying tyrants. You understand? And in many instances, the indigenous people of this planet called the Tardeneg, who people today would refer to as pygmies, or there are different names that people call them, but these people who originally stood about 4 feet tall, they ultimately were mental giants. So when you ultimately ask the question in that way, as if it's to say, well, does giant mean supernatural? I think you used the word. These Tardeneg, or what they refer to as pygmy or Hottentots, they have different names for it. These were mental giants. These were the actual indigenous people of the planet who had the sciences, who ultimately had the mathematics, who ultimately brought forth agriculture, who brought forth a lot of the things that today's first world would love to brag about but not actually acknowledge where they got it from.
In the Bible, there's mentioned the mark of Cain. I saw one reference saying, but I mean black people, man, that black people were cursed, and that's the mark of Cain. What exactly is this mark of Cain?
The mark of Cain, without having the time to really go into it, is a swastika.
What?
It was a swastika. It originally, you had a symbol that represented harmony with nature. Mm-hmm. So there's one way you can draw the swastika, and it looks like four fours. Mm-hmm. And then there's another way you can draw it where it looks like those fours are actually backwards.
Right. They say the indigenous Americans, people who would have been on that continent, that was a symbol for them, the former one you described, until what we call the Nazis took it and flip it.
These were people who were adverse to nature. But ultimately, yes, those Cainites, they were black devils, right? They were the ones who, in Genesis 6, when this statement is being made, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but will only be there for 120 years. What they were saying was, we're going to have to disconnect our link with these group of Negroes, let me say it that way, because they look like us, they have angelic skin, but they're devilish. So they literally were cutting them off. And this mark that was given to them was not so much of a mark to when we look at the story of how Adam and Eve came to be, right? Now I gotta explain this in order to explain the mark. Adam and Eve, I'm using those names for the sake of the conversation, but they were Zakar and Nekeba, right? This Adam or Zakar, he came from a tribe. Remember we talked about Lilith, the queen mother Lilith, and then she had a husband called Simjaza in the Tigris-Euphrates River. He was taken from that line and brought into this Akit Aten. And then Eve came from the river valley and brought into this Akit Aten, and they were supposed to reproduce, which they did, to produce Cain. And when they said, you got to get out of here, when they kicked him out, they gave him a mark so that those who, when he went back to the line where he came from, they would suppose that he was that Zakar or that same group that had left originally, and that would protect him as long as they didn't find out. Now, again, I don't have the time to go through the whole story right now, but this idea that he would kill his own brother meant that he was adverse in his ways of thinking and operating, and he had now taken on the image of those fallen angels who had already created a land called Nod, which is where he found his wife.
I have a caller here, and I want to discuss these 200 fallen angels. Are they the same as when Lucifer fell from heaven with those fallen angels, or these are different fallen angels? Because this is a third of heaven.
They're a portion of those angels.
It seems like two different times.
Yeah, but
go ahead. Let's go to the caller first. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Namaste.
Namaste, Elder.
Paul Uncle, I think me and you been discussed this situation before, whereby the pyramids that are in the Bahamas. Now, what I want to know, right? Mm-hmm. But before I ask this question, what I could have seen and when I used to swim, right?
Yeah.
I always like deep water swimming. You know, because, you know, it used to give you a proper exercise.
Yeah.
But one time ago, right, when I was swimming, right, I came across a railroad, you know, under the water.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you something.
That was in Nassau, well?
Yes, in Nassau.
Okay.
And me and you was discussing some time back, there are pyramids also in our water.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask you, right? according now, they should be on record in government record or in the Bahamas record.
Okay.
But what I want to ask you, do you know whether or not ships deviate from the pyramids and where the railroad were in the Bahamas? Do you know anything of that sort?
I'm not familiar with any underwater railroads.
Okay, I've seen it.
There's a author by the name of David Imhotep who talks about Africans being in this part of the world before anybody else. And he talks about the fact that Grand Bahama, for example, is used as a shipping port. That was something that had been done from ancient times, but because of our location and the proximity to the shipping lanes, etc., whereby he makes reference to this area being aligned with what they would refer to as Atlantis or other ancient cities. So there are authors out there who have touched on that topic. Maybe there are authors out there who have touched on the topic. I'm not personally familiar with the, you said you saw him, so I can't take that from you.
No, but what I'm asking you now, when you say, hello?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
They saw a pyramid. Whosoever you speaking of, the gentleman which you.
So there are people. Yeah, there are people who talked about a glass pyramid, between Andres and Bimini, and they even talked about pyramids on Andres itself. I've been to Andres. I didn't find any pyramids, but I did find mounds. And in the mound, the gentleman who was taking us on the tour when we were leaving mentioned that in the mound there is a actual hieroglyph of a falcon in the actual mound.
Let me ask you something. The mounds are in the water or on land?
The ones that I saw were on the land, but they do talk of those ones that were in the water, even to the point where they talk about a energy vortex near Bimini, which is, remember when Dorian was trying to go across to Florida and it got stuck over Grand Bahama?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There are people who attribute that behavior of that hurricane to an actual vortex, which stopped it from moving and then caused it to head north.
Hold your point right there. One day I was swimming, I think it was year before last, sometime or last year.
Mm.
I was swimming in on Long Wharf, and you know I usually go way out to get a good feel of the water.
Yeah.
And a current just whipped past the bottom of my feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, "Thank God I didn't haven't gotten caught in that in that current, because I don't know where I would have ended up."
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me, because the thing is, I don't think the current should have been that sharp in that type of water.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Let me respond to you. Thanks very much.
Yeah. So I grew up as a swimmer, and I trained on a lot of those beaches, and some of the hotels have lines, pipes that push water out at different times. I know I got caught in one of those before. That's pretty scary. That could have been what it is. It could have been a rip current. Again, I didn't have the experience, so I can't say exactly what it is. But
it's been mermaids.
Yeah, mermaids. But Elder Bremen, I thank you for your questions.
I know. I see the lines are lit up, producer. Yeah. When you have time, just patch it in. Go ahead, Colin. Can you hear me?
Yes. I hope Bremen could remember when he and Elijah Obed, his brother, we all used to jump off the ships, villains.
All right. Wow.
And what he's talking about is the Bimini Road is in Bimini. But now, let me ask my two questions, please.
But he said he was in Nassau. That's why I asked.
Yeah, well, no, I know. I could take you to it.
Yeah. No, I just telling you what he told me. So, but go ahead.
But boy, I got to meet Bremen again. Listen up, though.
Mm-hmm.
I only have two questions, but I need to listen to it on the phone because the internet is clipping in and out.
Okay.
First question, was King James a homosexual that executed his mother? Now, that's two in one. And the second one is, I know of no Caucasian who would allow me to slap him on one cheek and then he can turn the other cheek. What's that story all about? Could I listen, please?
Sure. What's King James?
They miss out a part. You turn the other cheek and run away. Turn the other cheek and run away.
I'm serious, man.
I don't know King James personally, so I can only tell you what has been said of him. It is said that he was homosexual. I don't know if he killed his mother. But I do know he comes from a culture that ultimately behaved in that way. You understand?
Was King James a Moor?
No.
No, he's not a Moor?
No, no, not to my knowledge, no. And then the second question was...
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. That's something that they put in there. If your enemy is telling you to allow him to slap you again, then that's your enemy that put that inside
there. In fact, I've seen another interpretation of that scripture, sir. The story says that we're interpreting it incorrectly, and when they say turn the other cheek, that was a cultural practice signifying that we will no longer do business, right? Like we're no longer in communion with each other.
Right.
So to turn the cheek is to signify the end of a business relationship or a communal relationship.
See, and
Uncle, you also forget Beetlejuice, which is going to be bright pretty soon. Remember that one? Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
See, what cultural diffusion did, and this is what the Greco-Romans did, is they removed pictures and they made people places, people. They made one person, a group of people, one person, so that when you take certain things out of context, cultural context, then it can be used whichever way the dominant culture needs it to be used. And so that's one way of explaining it as well.
Okay, I see another caller here, producer Pastor caller through. Go ahead, Colo.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Brother Anku, and morning, Nuri.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Brother Anku, when you were talking about the people, the star people, et cetera, and the constellations, I mean, could it be that the individual, like how you were talking about Melchizedek coming every 25,000 years, could the individual just be an individual, like a man in a man form, when he just has, like he's born or originated from that
constellation? Definitely.
Yeah, thank you. When you were talking about the giants, I tend to agree with you, and I'm glad that C.A. Even asked the question, even though I felt as if you probably would explain it. When he was saying, like, if it didn't have to necessarily be a big, big person, like a Jack and a Beanstalk type thing, but it could have been like a powers or a supernatural type thing. Because I agree with you on that, because I don't believe that we had that Jack and a Beanstalk type thing, because, like, even when I look around, just from observation, like, everything seems to be, like, created for human size. Like, the fruits, you know what I mean, the bananas and apples and even the horses, and I can't imagine... I can't see anything around you that would suit giants. If you're
what about
giants.
Moose? What about moose? Have you ever seen a moose?
Yeah, but could Nimrod suit? Could Nimrod be like a giant, like an individual like that? Because like I think he was a great warrior in the Bible. Could he suit that type of character?
Yeah, but he was actually the one going after the giants.
Interesting.
He was a bounty hunter. He would go after fallen angels.
Very interesting.
But let me just.
And when you were talking about this swat sticker, I saw something the other day where it showed that what the swat sticker really is the, you know, we call it Big Dipper?
Yeah.
And it showed that what the swat sticker really was, it was the Big Dipper as it moved the four seasonal, like, you know, the solstice, four seasonal solstice time period.
Right.
As it relates to Polaris, like that, as it goes around Polaris.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Each point is indicated by one of those arms or those things that stretches out from the end. That's why there's four there. Each one represents the Big Dipper at different points in its rotation around the North Star Polaris.
Which would align with nature.
That's why we should all pay attention to the stars and the celestials being, because obviously those things had to have some great meaning that individuals took on those symbols and those things still are relevant to us to this day, right?
Yeah.
If knowledge is lack of knowledge is what why the people suffer, that means that ignorance is the chains that binds us. You agree?
Correct.
So, I feel as if that the best way to eliminate ignorance for one is through like intelligent discussion, you know, mature debate.
Mm-hmm.
And also, though, that we must understand that if 10 people have different opinion as it relates to one thing, and there's a definite truth to this one thing, right? Then those 10 people have to realize that all of them cannot be right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the mature thing to do would be able to accept the fact that there's a potential that you could be wrong, and that the bottom line though, is that the right answer is for the benefit of all of us. And you withholding the acceptance of this thing is actually a negative thing for us, because we need to live in truth and we need to live in righteousness. You agree with that, my brother?
I do, but let me say this, though. When we talk about truth, right, when you go to the maxims of Tahuti, it makes reference to truth whereby it says all truths are half-truths.
Yes, I mean, okay, well, right. Yeah, but then again, so, certain things are definite, though, brother. Like you and I on the radio talking right now, that's mm-hmm. a definite, that's a truth, that's a reality. You know, someone could say yes, someone could say tomorrow.
But the person who's going to hear this recording, right, they we wouldn't be on the radio.
No. What I'm trying to say
you
is that
saying?
Individuals listening to us right now.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, can say tomorrow.
Yeah,
right.
That you were on the radio yesterday.
On the radio, and that's a definite truth.
Right.
Yeah. So when you say that all truths are half truths, I disagree with that because
no, I didn't say that. That's within the maxim of Tahuti, and I gave you an example of why it said.
I disagree with the maxim of Tahuti.
Right. So let me explain though. Let me see.
But the question.
Let me explain. The people who are hearing us now. They have that truth or that understanding that we're on the radio now.
Yes.
A person who hears this later tonight or outside of this hour of on May 16th, if they don't know that they're listening to a recording, they too could say, well, no, but they're on the radio right now.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah.
And technically, we would be on the radio even though we're not on the understand what I'm saying? That's why I said
that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, right? Yeah. But the question would not be. And the thing, the reference I'm referring to wouldn't be if it's live or not.
Because so no context.
Say that individuals tomorrow can
right.
say it took place yesterday. The thing I'm trying to say is that they can say it took place.
Right, so the context.
Yes, so 1,000 years from now, if the recording exists, 1,000 years from now, individuals can listen to it. And even if they don't know our name.
Right.
They can say two individuals were having a conversation and it was recorded.
Right.
Yeah. So
the key to making the truth absolute.
Thanks very much, Carl.
No, but I have one
context.
Last question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, my final question to you is this, my brother, because if you were given a multiple-choice question, right, if you were given a multiple-choice question,
mm-hmm.
and the question read, who is the King of Kings, right, and the options were A, Jesus, B, Emperor Haile Selassie I, C, the Shah of Iran, because he himself also claimed the title for a short period of time, right,
mm-hmm.
or D, none of the above. What would your answer be, Brother Anku? Thank you very much. I'll sit back and listen.
Okay.
You answer first, Anku, and I'll answer second.
It all depends on which class I was in. If I was in history, I could give an answer. If I was in religious studies, I could give another answer.
If I said the sport, I'd say Hubert Ingraham.
Right.
It's obviously the right answer.
But I mean, in all fairness to the caller, right, this is why I was making the point that the context is key in saying that something is an absolute truth. If I'm a student in a classroom where the Shah was the King of Kings, I would put that answer. If I was a person who grew up as a Christian and I learned that Jesus was the King of Kings, I would have to put that answer. If I grew up as a Rastafarian and I learned that he was the King of Kings, I would have to put that answer. Clearly, they are all correct on some level. You understand? So I leave it there.
Let's talk about those 200 angels, right? Satan fell from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming when he fell from heaven, Adam and Eve was not here. Because I assume when he fell, it was such a collision on earth that the entire earth changed.
The Adam and the Eve that are being referenced, no, they weren't. They are roughly 50,000 years ago. The fall of Leviathan was 17,250,000 years ago, millions of years before. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, though,
mm-hmm.
to align with what the previous caller was talking about, or even what you asked with the giants, that fall of Satan was not merely a fall of like physical beings. You're talking about bacteria, viruses, and germs that were hitting the planet, and they were bleaching the planet, and they were causing the original inhabitants of the planet to increase in size as well as to have a lighter complexion. So if you do research on animals near the equator versus those further away from the equator, the animals near the equator are smaller and darker. Those that are further away are lighter and bigger. You understand? That was one of the results of the fall of Leviathan. So giants falling didn't only mean, oh, they literally fell out of the sky. It was the actual events that were taking place that were causing a change in, it's like nuclear fallout, let me say it that way.
So elephant, I initially thought elephants are huge, but then I thought, but not as big as a woolly mammoth.
Right. So right, you do have differences based on where they were living.
Tigers are huge, yeah, but not as huge as a saber-toothed tiger.
Right. And the fact that the planet shifted because the poles were not always iced. You understand? And so all of this talks, all of this is a part of the reality of what is called the creation story.
So the 200 angels, that's a separate from Lucifer fall.
They are part of the fall.
So
you had
when they say a third of heaven, how many people is that?
Billions.
That so when billions. I say 200, how many people is that?
That's the 200 from the billions. Hmm. So you had a war that was taking place outside of this galaxy originally. But then it moved to this. When they say it was being sent to Earth, they weren't only on Earth. They were on other planets as well. That's why they named all of them. None of these names of the planets are in the Bible. But they have Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. These are not names that we would have called them. We have names for those planets. Those names were given to those planets by those 200 fallen angels. So this war took place outside of this this galaxy and in this solar system. This is why you have an asteroid belt. That's the debris of war that was taking place.
Let's take this quick break. I see you, caller. As soon as we come out from this break, we'll go engage you two and you can ask your questions to Uncle Sarah. This is Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Okay, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
You try to rest, but with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I see the callers are here, and I promise to go straight to them. So let me go that, do that. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patrick, calling through. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, but Uncle, let me rephrase my question for you, please.
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, other people might appreciate the diplomacy. Mm-hmm. But I don't appreciate that diplomacy because, see, we're talking about it rightfully. You know, do you know where the King of Kings title come from, et cetera? So let me rephrase my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the names and options that I gave you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which one was rightfully and actually crowned King of Kings?
Haile Selassie.
Evidence
Haile Selassie.
Of the coronation. Thank you very much. Yeah. You have a nice day.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And then also, those 200 fallen angels were in the land of Nod. That separates them from the others as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's continue.
In any event, the Bible says Jesus is the King of the Kings. Right?
Just women
thousands of years before.
So, you know, but let's go to the next caller. We got to go to the next caller. We're running out of time.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neri.
Good morning.
And good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Uncle.
Good morning.
I was trying to remember that thing you say when you
Namastu.
Namastu. Namastu.
Namastu.
Namastu.
Yes.
Okay, Namastu. First thing, the gentleman that keeps calling about Haile Selassie,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question. When you have somebody that is that determined for you to believe what they believe, in all your studies, would I'll hang up and listen after I'm done. What do your findings reference those people to? Because mm-hmm. I'm very curious as to why he's trying to. And he did the same thing with Mr. Neri yesterday, and then so on and so forth. And it's getting a little weird, you know, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word.
Right.
And second thing, in the Bible, they're talking about this mark, this 666 mark, or mm-hmm. mark of the beast, so to speak. What is your findings, your biblical or religious findings on that, sir? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sure. The first question, in all of my time of doing what I'm doing now, when a person is adamant about their position with regard to their religion or their understanding of a thing, I leave them be. You know, I appreciate that that's where they're at. This is why, in the maxims of Tahuti, we recognize that all truths are half truths. Not to say that what anyone is saying is wrong. As the caller isn't wrong, but at the same time, there are other perspectives, and so, you know, when a person holds on to a perspective in that way, then we just respect it. That's their perspective, and move on. All right. With regard to the mark of the beast, in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 18, it makes reference to a number 666, and but if you look at it again in the language, you would see Zane, Zane, Zane. And it's really going back to a German word, Zicklick, which means to turn things opposite to what they originally were. Going back to the swastika again. All right, that's one example of it. This mark, however, is also seen in the fact that you need it in order to purchase. You need it to buy. All right. So if you look at the word visa, right, we need a visa to purchase. The V and the I in Roman numerals is 6. The S is a Samaritan way of saying the number 6. And the A is a Canaanite Babylonian way of saying the number 6 or referencing the number 6. So you have this 666, which is a system, all right? Thomas Hobbes talks about Leviathan and this systems and within systems that is very, very complex and is very difficult to see where it ends and where it begins. All of this is making reference to this beast or this mark of this beast. And so ultimately, your barcodes that are on your food items or anything that you're purchasing, it has to have a code in order to be recognized by the system that is run by a computer. There's a computer called the Beast, 3666. They're in different parts of the world, and they are computers that ultimately self-program. This is why you see or have seen recently some of the heads of Google and other computer agencies, they're quitting because they're like, we see this getting out of hand. These computers are actually
self-programming, and we don't know if we could stop it.
Before you go, I know we only have like literally seconds. They're putting pig hearts and pig lungs into humans.
Yeah.
Is that what a geneticist? When you making transplants?
Yeah, when I was in university, my roommate was a part of an experiment putting pig genes in tomatoes so that they would be on the shelves longer. It's again one of the tools used by this seed that ultimately doesn't respect nature. They're adverse to nature. And so they will do everything within their power to subvert nature as we know it, and they won't leave things the way that they originally were, whereby the children of nature can actually benefit from those things.
Next week, can we talk about the Coptic Church's response to some things that are considered conspiracy theories, like the theory that the number 8 is actually supposed to come after the number 9 because 8 is the infinity symbol, and then the theory that the frequencies through which we listen to music, we tune things with, were changed as a political policy to shift humans' natural abilities.
They did it with the instruments A440. So we could talk about that. Yeah.
And the Coptic Church's response to these things.
Mm-hmm. You believe that's true?
I'm surprised you letting me talk.
Well, we could look at the results and we could determine from there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The music allow us to do certain things.
Yeah, it's not music, it's noise.
It's noise.
It's not music.
Noise is frequency.
Is there such thing as white noise?
There is.
See, I knew it. I knew it had to come back to that. You know.
In the beginning, there was the word, and word is sound, and sound is frequency, and then there we all are.
Then there became white noise. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.